The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
It is the time on the show on a Wednesday. Once he's in the country, this man is, I want to know if he's a hostess or pilot. But he's here in Trinidad with us,
yes. Well,
you know, the president of the National Parent Teachers Association, Walter Stewart, is in the building, and much changes taking place in Tuta.
Yes, indeed.
Just yesterday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the 14th.
Yeah.
Wake up to our new president this morning.
Yeah.
President Stewart, welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM. Let's first and foremost, it will be remiss, let's talk about this Tuta shift. Yeah. And the execs, we have a whole listing of them, you know. Let's first talk about the working relationship existed with Martin Lumpkin.
Yeah.
Before we transition into the expectations of this president that is coming up.
Right. Thank you very much, and good morning. Good morning to your listenership. And of course, let us start by congratulating Miss Crystal Bevin Ash, who is the new president of Tuta as per the elections yesterday. And over the years, DV, and of course our listeners, we've been having a very good, cordial, collaborative, cooperative relationship with Tuta. And of course, we expect under the new executive led by Miss Ash that this will certainly continue as we continue to forge ahead, all for the benefit of our children. Ultimately, that's what our concern is. And as we partner with Tuta, we are looking forward to more cordial relationships with them, again, in the education system that is Trinidad and Tobago.
Indeed so. So, with the working relationship that existed with Martin and the past Tuta administration, what was it like, and what is your expectation with Mr. Ash, President Ash, I think it is?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right.
President Ash, yes, exactly. Many times, if you look at the press releases, we were very often on the same page. And I like that with Mr. Martin Lumpkin, that we were able to, even though we didn't see eye to eye on a few issues, but basically within the recent past in particular, we were able to see on the same page with many issues. And I admire that with him, and of course I'm looking forward to the same with this new president and the new executive as well. What's also important to note is that very often there might be need for joint statements, because we are seeing eye to eye, there might be need for joint statements vis-a-vis Tuta and NPTA when of course there are issues that would need the collaborative voice of both entities, both parties.
Have they, he was voted in yesterday with a resounding securing 3,546 votes, and it was a serious defeat. Martin receiving just about over a thousand. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a very, very startling. And they said teachers were reportedly displeased with Lumpkin's decision to accept the previous government's 4% offer, as they have now lost out.
Right.
On that 10% propose for the same period.
And
wow.
Well, ironically, it was just a few days prior to the elections that this agreement was signed with Tuta and the CPO. So I could well imagine the horror with the teachers, because you are now, you know, not able to participate in the additional 6%.
6% that would have been
to the 10%, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That was a crucial, crucial turning point.
It was.
So, is it Crystal Bevin?
Well, I think it's a male. I think it's a Mr. Bevin Ash.
I don't know where the crystal came out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a unisex name. I never met the person before, and I'm looking forward to meeting with this individual. But the name given is Crystal Bevin Ash.
Crystal Bevin Ash.
Yeah, that's the name given. So I'm told it's a mister. I'm told it's a male. I'm told.
I'm being told it's a male. A picture with him here
as well.
I will forward to you as well.
Good. Appreciate that. Yeah. So it is a male. Yeah, it is a male.
So I am a bit in a state of bewilderment as to the crystal. I don't know if the name is unisex. Take a look at what
unisex.
I just sent you.
Okay, fine. Appreciate that.
All right. Lot. I can't say for sure. I'm getting...
Okay, yeah, that's him there.
Says,
yeah, that's him.
I am Crystal Bevin Ash.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the new Tuta president.
All right. Well, I'm very comfortable with Mr. Bevin Ash.
Yeah, and a comfortable victory as well.
Congratulations to you.
Yes, indeed.
Being the new head of Tutor.
Correct, yes.
All right, congratulations. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was trying to call you to find out the name of the teacher in charge, you know, the had the election yesterday.
Oh, yes,
I hear
yes.
You all called the name yesterday.
Yes, yes. All right, no problem. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Yeah, you wanted to get the name. Well, based on the listing that we have, is Mr. Ash. The name, we have the president, Crystal Bevin Ash.
Yes.
Under the president, I don't know what the SS1 or SSI.
School Supervisor 1. Yeah, oh, he's a School Supervisor 1.
Oh, he's School Supervisor 1.
Yes.
And Randy Lal, a CNT3. Is that?
Teacher 3. Mm-hmm.
Teacher 3. What is a teacher 3?
In other words, they go teacher 1, 2, 3. Upward mobility. So the teacher 3 will be a senior teacher.
Oh.
Yeah.
Noted. A senior teacher. I see Martin Lumpkin.
SS1 as well.
SS1. Yeah. And it goes down. So we're seeing under president, based on the listing that we're seeing from your learned experience, I'm seeing 1 to 6. Why are we? These were persons vying for
nominations.
The,
yes, oh, those are nominees. Exactly.
That
yeah.
went up for election.
Current as president.
And, for president.
Right,
and where their vote fell.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so
yes,
Bevin Ash took the landslide with 3,546.
Yeah.
Vice President Nigel Figaro, a teacher, won.
Right.
Coming 4,395. Third Vice President Natasha Baron Ram Tahal,
right,
a teacher one.
Right.
Well, that third vice president will go to, I think, Barry Joel
Dezine. Yes, and he got a landslide as well with
4,033. But
excellent.
What is the STP?
Good point. I need to check that.
We need to check.
Yeah, exactly.
We probably will get them on the show.
So, certainly, yeah.
So we have Bevin Ash as the president, Nigel Figaro, second vice president, and third vice president goes to Barry Joel Desani.
Yes.
And then we have the
secretary.
General Secretary Suan Marchand.
Yeah. Teacher one.
And
yeah.
That's a teacher one. Mm-hmm. And then we have Treasurer Dylan Chad Haraksing.
Right, exactly.
He's
acting dean.
Coming
acting
in at three, just over, just under 4,000 votes.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So those were the results coming out from the Trinidad and Tobago Unified Teachers Association.
Yeah.
It's a media release that was sent to us.
Yeah.
And somebody's saying here that the new president, okay. All right.
Manpower as well. Almost of this executive, 4 male and 1 female. So it's manpower.
Well, the males have it.
Yes,
they
exactly.
They have dominated.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The budget was read, of course. We would have seen education receiving
lion's share,
as per usual.
Correct. Yes,
it seems to be the norm over the last decade.
Of course.
With I think 1 or 2 years.
I think
year,
it was just last year by a tip.
They seem for the better part of the
of
last
course.
Decade.
Oh yeah.
Receiving the lion's share
correct.
Of the budget,
and for good measure.
Why are we still having infrastructural problems? I mean, I must congratulate the Honourable Prime Minister, Honourable Kamala Prasad Bisesa, SCMP, for getting these schools ready, with the exception of Vesani.
Right, for sure.
And Toko
had some issues. Yeah, there are a few issues there. But 279 schools over the vacation repair period is a fantastic job. Phenomenal.
And
really.
That was outside of their budget presentation.
Exactly.
They did it with the last
administration. So that they had in the mid-year review budget, they got another allocation.
About 3 point something
correct,
billion.
Yes, we're able to pull them through to be able to complete those schools. Of course, there are still some schools, Davy and listenership, that are still in a state of needing some additional repairs, but those can be done incrementally and without any disruption to the present school system.
Exactly so.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, Evie.
Good morning, sir.
Morning to you, guys.
Sure.
Did I hear? I was opening my fridge door just now and I didn't hear correctly. Did you say that the union accepted the 4% instead of 10?
Well, that was under the former president of Tutor, Martin Lumpkin.
Right.
Under the former administration as well.
Former administration as well.
Yes,
which was the PNM.
Yes.
So, bottom line, under the last president, they accepted the 4%. So would that, so the teachers and them would not be getting the 10% then?
No. They
what?
Can't. It's already signed off.
Yeah.
Okay. But that, them teachers and them go real vex, boy.
Not they go vex. They already showed their disdain and displeasure by it. They would have gotten rid of the former president by a landslide and ushering in a new one.
Yeah.
But I think that the Trinidad and Tobago Unified teachers need to become less political, voting less politically inclined leaders, and try and vote people on the neutral side. Right, because as far as the general public of this country relates tutor to the PNM, right? Oh. Because they traditionally have pro PNM presidents, and I think they need to move away from that. Right, unions should not be, especially teachers' unions should not be in politics. Your job is to see about the teachers and the welfare of the students over your charge.
All right,
and too many unions get involved in politics. Thanks a lot.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you so much for calling. Hello, good morning. All right, 625-2257. I have a message coming in for us, Walter. Let's see who's on the line. Okay, I'm not getting that message.
Missed it.
The star voice message.
Okay, it's not coming through. All right, 625-2257. If you have a comment or any suggestions that you want to recommend, we'll be more than happy to play that for you. Let's see who is there. Hello, good morning.
A pleasant morning there.
Morning, good morning.
Hey, pleasant morning there, Mr. Walter Morales.
Oh, Mr. Morales, good morning. This is a regular.
Pleasant morning,
sure.
All right. We're hearing that Tutor have a new they got a new president.
Yes.
What was the, you know, I'd like a new Tutor because they have the head of the primary school. They have an organization, the head of the primary school teacher, principal association, and they have an association, the head of the secondary school principal association.
Yes, public
so
secondary
school. So they need
schools.
To work in tangent. So what is the objective they want to achieve? Because I can't see them changing presidents so regular. Because if you put a president in office, you most likely would have voted on a mandate of some objectives that want to be achieved. And the objective must be achievable within the parameters of the working of the whole organization. So if you're chain back a president here again, and so what was the objective of the last president? Where did he fail? And then if we're back another one, you know, so what will be the objective of the next president? And what do you expect every man? What, at the end of the day, you have to make sure also that the objectives you have for the president or the organization are achievable. So with these three, so you have the president head, that union, and within their body, you have two other heads. Secondary school and primary school. So they need to work in tandem together with the teachers. Like I remember, all these people are supposed to be what we call certified people, learned people. So you know we shouldn't have any much, I mean, we might have different opinions or views, but we need to have a direction forward as an organization. Locked on, listen. Bye.
What I want to say about that, though, is that we are all stakeholders in the education system, and to the caller, Mr. Morales, we have a very good, cordial working relationship with all those entities, primary school principals, public school, and of course, tutor. We have a very good working relationship with all those stakeholders.
Hello, good morning. Hello.
Morning again, Evie.
Good morning.
It might be wise for you to be cautious in stating that the teachers will not get the 10% in the budget speech. The minister afraid to call the categories ever. Sure, I could call about three, but afraid of call one wrong. He named about three category of workers who accepted the 4% and that they will also be getting the 10%.
Well,
I think what he said is that the government will ratify the collective agreement signed in April of 2025. Those were the words for the categories, inclusive of teachers as well. So, caller, we wait until the line minister, of course, or the minister himself, Mr. Tanku, comes. But, of course, the budget statement did say that the government will ratify the collective agreement signed in April of 2025.
Right, so they will ratify
Correct.
The collective agreement
course, already signed. Correct.
And if you signed at 4%,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
we're going to honor it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't paid off. It's signed in April before the general elections.
That's right.
It was not paid as yet.
Yeah.
So we're going to honor it.
Yeah.
So ratifying and going through it, what was already signed, that has nothing to do with this current administration.
Yeah. So but we wait and see what's going to come out with the budget debate.
What will happen? I mean, the debates will be premature of us to make any pronouncements on those things. Me speaking with the Minister, the Honorable David Jonath Tanku, yesterday, Minister of Finance, at the Chamber, he did allude to a lot of different things, you know, as it relates to the landlord rent, how they're going to get those KPIs, meaning how they're going to keep persons in check, how they're going to deal with errant persons, persons who refuse to register.
He clarified all that. He did,
to some extent, and did mention to me that more will come, more explanation. As to how they're going to do it, especially in the education sector, because I spoke to him on CCC, MyLat, and other things, giving students a second chance, and he even mentioned that there's a lot of things in the works when it comes to job creation and the education terms of edifying persons, and it's not just about, to quote him exactly, academics only. We are looking at persons who are skilled.
Very good.
So if you have some kind of labor skills, those persons are employable. So rather than bring back the CPEP and all goes well, I'm expected to have the Public Utilities Minister Barry Podaras tomorrow on the Rumble.
All right.
And if all goes well, I hope he shows up and he's here with us.
That'd be good.
The much anticipated questions he will be able to shed some light
very
and
good.
Explain. So I look forward to that interview, and I can give a preamble to that. So I'm telling you all, it's expected.
Yes.
Tomorrow, we are expected to chat with him. All right.
But I always look forward, Davy, to the budget debate, where I would listen to all the line ministers and get from them in greater detail, comprehensively, what the minister would have espoused in the budget statement. So we look forward to the budget debate this Friday and continuing, certainly.
It kicks off. I mean, we still have to get a response from the opposition. And I don't anticipate they're going to agree with much. I anticipate it's the opposition. They would push back. But when it comes to the NPTA and your expectations in terms of the deliverables, as you mentioned, the lion's share of the budget went to education. How do you see that impactful when it comes down to the day-to-day running of the various schools?
Well, I'm very pleased, and I want to list a few of the issues that the Minister Tanku would have mentioned. And again, as I say, let me wait until the line minister comes. But there was mention of the special needs. And we are always concerned, DV, about our challenged students. And he did indicate in the budget statement that 13 partner schools are being, well, established at the tune of $11 million. So I would imagine that these schools are existing schools, but they will be specifically measured, they'll be specifically tuned in to supplying the needs and the requisites for our special needs children. And I think that this is very laudable, because of course we're talking inclusive education, and all children, regardless of their learning challenges or their learning disabilities, should be a part of the education system, and we should embrace them. So it's laudable that they have allocated $11 million towards this. Early screening. We have spoken about this ad nauseum, and I'm happy that it is being mentioned in the budget that 4 to 6 year olds will now be subject to early screening, hearing, vision, and other learning challenges that they may have, so that there's early detection and you can treat and deal with those issues from the formative years of the child's educational journey. We have espoused this, and I'm happy that they have listened to us. What we want to include on this, though, however, Davy, is the socioeconomic aspect of these children, that there needs to be an intimate relationship now with the powers that be and the families, so that you can understand what is taking place in the homes of these students, father, mother, nuclear family, etc. What is the status of the family situation? Let's dive in there. Let's deal with that, so that you are able to mitigate early in the game whatever challenges the children or the family may face at that stage. So this would also involve the Ministry of Health, I'm sure, Ministry of People and Social Development. So it's more than just the Ministry of Education, but other ministries partnering with the Ministry of Education to ensure that you get what is taking place and understand what is taking place in the home as well.
When it looks based on, I mean, let me take this call before we discuss the next thing. Hello, good morning. Hello, 625-2257 and 627-3223. Let's see if anyone is on the line here. Good morning. All right, call me back. The call was coming through. I didn't want to cut you with what you were saying. Now, when we are looking at, you know, infrastructure in the schools, I mean, you would have had some great conversations. And I mean, you would have been, outside of your secular work, you would have worked with the PTA. Have you been getting reports from the local PTAs across that infrastructure within school, furniture is being looked at, taken care of. Are they bringing in new stuff? What is on the ground that you're hearing so far?
And you have said all the right things there, because I can tell you in schools, even with the weather, you know, we have some bad weather within recent times. And even with the bad weather that we've been experiencing, a few of our schools are complaining bitterly about what is taking place. We are making a list, which we want to be able to compile the list from all our regions, all our education districts, and take that list now with infrastructural issues to the Ministry of Education so that they can rectify ASAP what is taking place with the infrastructure. With regards to furniture, we had a situation in southeast port of Spain. I'm happy to report that that situation is now ameliorated. The furniture is intact, and the students can now enjoy their Monday to Friday classroom sessions at southeast port of Spain. And if at all there are any other issues, because we are on the ground, we are trying to make sure that we are on the ground and responding positively so to our schools, our regional presidents who may have situations and concerns, to make sure that they are addressed as a matter of urgency and immediacy.
Now, with that being said, let's talk a little bit about the police officers that you all would have seen in the nation's schools.
Right.
We had a report, I think it was in Aranjuez, just recently, where a fight broke out in Aranjuez school.
Yes.
And officers, swift action.
Yes. And I was happy that you were able to deal with it promptly and bring the situation under some level of control. And kudos to the police officers for their involvement, their immediate involvement in this particular fracas.
Listen, man, real ragdoll.
I'm telling
pack
you.
Pack of flower pickup kind of vibe, you know. And
I
say, but I had 10 kg rice, he pick up there, right? That man, hold on.
He was good. Yeah.
You know,
Good.
Let's look at it. They said Davy addressed school book prices, can the entire curriculum system computerized, eliminated. All right, so what, well, before I talk on that issue, let's see who's there. Good morning.
Morning again, Navy.
Good morning.
I just want to point out that the policy for this government to put police officers in schools was a very, very brilliant idea, because you see consequences. Once somebody know that they're going to face consequences for their action, they're going to think twice about behaving in a particular way. And you see all these online videos where you have adults are not behaving like 2-year-olds in public, right? And again, parents need to take more responsibility for the children, because if you don't teach the children, you're going to have to teach them as adults.
Yeah.
And the way society had to teach adults is prison. So I would like to see that same accountability with the criminals in this country. But that is a very, very good policy to curb these bad behavior in school. But it wouldn't stop the bad the thoughts of the children. That have to come from the parents, because Trinidadians have a way that every little thing they allow to offend them. You know, you get cut off on the highway, or somebody, you know, this kind of shoo-shoo talk about bad talking one another and all kind of thing. Canadians become very offended very easily, and they get vexed too fast, and they just show the anger in front of the children, and children pick up that, and they say it's all right to behave that way, rather than dealing with it in an adult manner. Thanks a lot.
We are in active conversation with the Ministry of Education with regards to parenting programs, because a lot of what is taking place in our schools is as a result of poor or no parenting whatsoever. So by adopting a proper parenting program in several of our communities, especially in the impoverished communities, we are hoping to be able to help our parents to understand the important role that they have to play in parenting their children. So it's one of the issues that we are in conversation with the ministry, and we are looking to be able to roll out some kind of active and robust parenting program with haste.
Hello, good morning. Hello?
Hey. Good morning, man. Let's again. All right.
Good morning.
So now moving forward to continue my point just now, at your level, and I would like them to look at a more directional, you know, have a directional, a more direct objective. Point two, bearing in mind that you all have a very complex institution where you're dealing with children, you're dealing with infrastructure, you know, it's real challenging. And then besides that, you're dealing with different parts of the country in terms of demographics. transportation and all this. So it's very, pretty complex. And one of the biggest challenges they have right now is the comfort of teachers working, which is their infrastructure, which will be a never-ending challenge. So moving forward, we have to see our best. You know, my suggestion in that matter, moving forward, the government need to kind of like localize in terms of getting corporate training and be able to assist, of course, under supervision, technical supervision, because it's difficult for the Treasury to really reach all these different schools and really have them at least in a workable manner. It's almost impossible. So we're looking at almost 700 buildings. So moving forward, those are a little suggestions and ideas that we can see what best we can work together with corporate China and the big one, get things moving. I mean, it wouldn't be a immediate or a pill-taking movement, but it is a long-term thing that we got to really work on. That's it.
You are so correct, Mr. Morales, because the government in itself cannot do it on its own with regards to education. And even though they got the land share of the allocation, $8.7 billion, that is not going to be able on its own to be able to repair all our schools. We have about 800 plus schools, ECCE, primary and secondary schools. The primary schools alone, of which about 454, 55% of those schools are over 50 years old. I've said this before, and they're in an urgent need of repairs, refurbishing our secondary schools, of which there are 125, 39% of those schools are over 50 years. So we're talking, several schools that need almost immediate rebuilding. Not to mention as well, Davey, and the listeners, about the laptops coming into our school system shortly, 18,000 plus, electrical load. So there are several issues, and of course, Mr. Morales is correct. We need to now involve corporate Trinidad and Tobago to assist with what is taking place with regards to education and infrastructure in our schools.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You know, in my experience as a teacher and a parent and a person driving around like yesterday on the highway, some idiot thought he should just zoom out and pass me on the left when there was no need to pass at all. He wasn't going very far. He turned off pretty soon after that. So there was no need. Some people just like aggression and hostility.
Okay, we get some feedback. We wasn't getting you there clearly, so maybe you can call us back 6:05 before we wrap the interview this morning. When it comes to the electronics and school books being placed on these laptops, what is the NPTA thoughts? And should these students be allowed to take these laptops to school? What do you think?
Well,
because it's, I mean,
yeah,
it's,
well, of course, we are hoping. I know, but we are hoping as well that when these laptops are distributed, that children would understand the need for responsible and effective use of these laptops. Because take it or leave it, the world is going globally now, IT, and of course our children cannot be left behind. We need to embrace IT, we need to embrace technology and work along with the system and let the children know, parents, you have a role here to play as well, that when they receive these laptops, the responsible and effective use of these laptops are going towards your education, research, and your education development. The use of the laptops is strictly for that.
Most definitely. Hello, good morning. Go ahead.
I was saying that some people are just naturally aggressive and hostile, and they like arguments and so on. And you're going to have to deal with that in the system more and more and more, because it has become acceptable for children to be aggressive and for parents to come and support foolishness. And my position in that, on that, is that's disruptive, and they need to be removed from the school and placed in some arena where they can express their aggression and let school go on. The teacher's role cannot be modified to the extent where you become referee and policeman and psychologist and law enforcement and whatnot. Teachers are supposed to teach, and everything is supposed to be arranged around that. And people who are disruptive ought to be removed completely out of there so that the work of the school can go on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
While I hear the caller, and of course there are consequences for your actions, students, there needs to be that level of restoration. It's not the end of the world for the student. We have all made mistakes. We have all gone awry regulations from time to time. Did we get discarded? Did we, were we just forgotten? No. So there has to be the restorative aspect of the system when it comes to punishment, punitive action. But yes, we want to restore you as well.
Indeed so, and I like that.
Sure.
We take you out of the system, but don't toss you away.
Exactly.
Good morning.
Exactly.
Good morning. Just responding to Mr. Pina about it, I think that's why the teaching service and education is in such a state in Trinidad, because a teacher's role is not just to teach. All those things you listed, referee, psychologist, that is what the essence of a teacher is. Teachers who are passionate about their job, they do the extra, and they don't just come to teach. It's not just a job. Teaching is not a job. Teaching is a calling. And I think we need to go back to that so that we could save our education.
Mm, I like that. Teachers is not just a job.
Calling. It is.
And you know, I mean, as we wrap, because we have some other commitments coming up.
Sure.
You know, I want to agree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
I often say there are certain jobs that you can't treat it as a means to an end. You know, just in this job to get a salary.
Yeah, it's more than that. It's more than that.
Police officers, fire officers, nurses, especially public servants.
Yes, as well. Essential.
You can't treat these things haphazardly.
Yeah.
It has to be a situation where you understand that I am called to do this, and I am here to do this.
There are some
careers, you know, you could dive into it. And, but those careers like teaching takes a special ability, and I want to echo the sentiments of that caller.
Definitely.
Good morning, Mr. Davey and the gentleman there. Aggression is not an innate quality. It is behavior that is learned. So yes, a parenting program, a life skills program, character building programs, those programs are going to help. They don't just push out the children just so. Caleb Gibran says that children learn what they live. And that's it. Those children learn what they live. They live in an aggressive environment.
Your thoughts? Well, before you respond, hello, good morning. All right, call me back. Go ahead.
That's why, again, that's why we want to place the emphasis on parenting programs, so that there'll be that communication, there'll be that role model system where parents will be role models to their children and understand that they need to walk the walk and talk the talk.
Hello, good morning. Good point.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
I'll say it a little different to what the last caller would have said to identify teachers. Teaching or a teacher is not just an occupation. It's a profession. Yeah. What we have now is that person just occupying a vacant position for 8 hours and do not see it as a profession whereby it's an art. You see that you develop over a period of time in the classroom, out of the classroom, having a desire and a passion to see children make better and productive citizens of themselves by educating themselves. So a teacher is a profession, and not just 8 hours. It's for 24 hours, round the clock. When you understand this, then we'll see a difference in our teaching profession instead of an occupation that is just occupied for a period of time until retirement and go out into the sunset with their retirement benefits. Have a good day.
All right, thank you very much. And one want to agree with what you said. We have no disagreements.
Teaching.
Every morning again. I don't know if the gentleman could tell the public know the rules and functions of a teacher as a daily aspect of education, because people tend to feel teachers just go teach the children and then go back home and there's nothing else to do with that. Other things like record and evaluation and all sorts of things, simple as if a little fight or a little quarrel take place in school, things that teachers just have to do in terms of additional duties and go on beyond, you know, to let the public know what it is we doing on a daily basis. Thanks.
Wow. Yeah, and even sometimes we even call our teachers babysitters as well. Listen, the responsibility of the parent, you are the first teacher to your child.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we need to adopt that responsibility with a level of sanctimoniousness as well. Because if you are the first teacher, everything that the child learns is as a result of what you have inculcated and put into them. So the teacher now would be the academic and, of course, the role model as well, to be able to teach, besides the academic, life skills. And we are looking forward to our teachers to fulfill those roles as well.
Well, unfortunately, guys, this is where we have to wrap and leave the show for today. Tosca is coming in next. NPTA Speaks will be back as per usual next week, Wednesday, where we're going to talk more on the electronic side of things. What the NPTA, I'm giving them some homework.
Sure.
Let's look at getting electronic books in the classroom.
Got you.
Sustainability of these electronic items and laptops coming into schools. Is it practical to do so? Should the laptops be left in care of the schools? And when you come in, you sign, you take your laptop, you go to class. What do you think? More when Walter Stewart revisits us again next week, Wednesday.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.